FM.
This is member supported.
WPFW, Washington.
My name is Tony Bates, and I am your host for this program. It is the program that features live performance every day, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 6 p.m. Today we have a unique and interesting guest, a young man by the name of Benjamin Gates, who is trained to play the cello. But he does it in such a unique and interesting way that I thought I had to have him in here on 89.3 Live at 5 in order for you guys to hear what he does. It absolutely grabbed me and arrested me the moment I heard it, and I think that you're really going to love it, especially on this rainy afternoon driving home. It should be a joy to hear what this young brother does. So, Benjamin Gates, welcome to 89.3 Live at 5.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
You're very welcome. Now, let's start out with your history. Where are you from?
I'm from Prince George's County, Maryland. I was born in Maryland.
All right, if you're born in Maryland, you have to leave. I'm sorry. I thought you were from D.C. I'm kidding you. And so you're born in Maryland.
Yes.
And so you play the cello. I don't see many young black men running around the streets of Maryland or Washington, D.C. with cellos. How does this come about?
Well, it started with my mom asking me one day if I would like to pick up an instrument, and she took me to the D.C. Youth Orchestra program, and that's where I learned a majority of what I do from.
So this didn't start in elementary school with school classes?
Oh, no. This has started in a completely separate program outside of the public school system.
And is that program still intact?
Yes, yes. They started off at Coolidge, and they're at Eastern High School now.
And tell us the name of the program once again.
DC Youth Orchestra Program.
That's fantastic. And was it available to you even as a young five-year-old at the high school, or where did the classes take place?
They took places on Saturdays when students, I don't believe, were at the high school. And, they had basically just offered us the campus on Saturdays to come in and rehearse and get ready for concerts and such.
Concerts, my goodness.
Yeah.
we're jumping ahead here.
I'm sorry.
No worries. I mean, I think that's fantastic. But why did you choose the cello?
In all honesty, they had offered me a wide variety of instruments, drums, pianos, violins, and such. But the reason I chose the cello was because at the time it was the only instrument that you can sit down and play.
So you hadn't really been exposed to music of the cello yet or anything of that nature.
Right.
It's just that you could sit down and play it.
Right.
And you seem to have taken to that very well.
Yeah.
And since it's a rainy afternoon, I'll tell you what I want to do. We're going to come back and talk about your history and your music and what it is that you do. But let's give folks one of your beautiful pieces or interesting pieces. Folks, this brother basically creates rhythms, and then he plays the cello over the rhythms that he's already recorded. And we're going to take you through that process at some point later in the show. But you have to hear what he does because it's so interesting. And so you're a classically trained cellist,
yes.
But you do kind of, well, let's just hear what you do and let the audience take care of it. Folks, you're listening to 89.3 Live at 5. My name is Tony Bates. I'm your host. I'm in studio with a young man by the name of Benjamin Gates. And he's going to play his cello for y'all. Is there a title for this first piece, or are you just going to ad lib and freestyle it for us?
Oh, yeah, there's a title to it. I came up with it last year when I started really starting getting my tracks together, but the name of it is called The Universe.
Okay. Right. Let's hear The Universe from Benjamin Gates. Thank you. the Universe by Benjamin Gates. You're listening to 89.3 Live at 5. My name is Tony Bates. I'm the host of the show, and we are the show that aims to bring you live music on your drive home, a little something different instead of those same three songs that are playing on whatever radio station you might have thought to change to. That was pretty wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And now y'all hear what I'm talking about, how unique what he does is. So let's go back to the beginning here. You're five. You've started to play with this orchestra. Did you take to the cello quickly? Did you take to music quickly? Did you practice, or was it your parents on you constantly?
I'm not going to lie. I took to music pretty quickly, but it was the fact that my mother was on me majority of the time, because I wanted to play PlayStation, but she's the person that really came through and enforced and made sure that I did all of the practicing that I needed to do.
And your mother, Kathy Gates, is here in the studio with us, watching very proudly as her son performs here. And people often say to me when people talking about raising children, well, you can't force kids to do things. And I say, well, you know, you have to, because if you didn't force them, no child would ever take a bath. So there are things that you have to force kids to do. They would all be funky if you didn't force them to get into the tub every day. Yeah. So there are certain things. And parents, that's why we have parents in part. They know best. I think of the Van Halen brothers, Eddie Van Halen is virtuosic in his guitar playing, but his father made them practice for hours every day. And in fact, he started off on drums, his brother started off on guitar, and they switched at some point. But he became this amazing guitar player, but in part because his father was like, you got to play. Because, like, as you say, kids want to play PlayStation instead. So you take to it, you're practicing. When do you know that you're becoming reasonably good at playing the cello? When does that hit you? At what age? Or are people around you saying things? Or,
well, there was a time where people were really giving me a lot of high praise for playing the cello. But the one thing is that I wouldn't usually believe them. The thing is, I don't know. It's like I'm kind of my own worst critic. So it was like, even when I would get accolades or people would give me praise and such, it would always come back to, well, what's next, or how are you going to do, you know, whatever you have planned out in your mind. So it kind of goes both ways. It's like I'm kind of driving a nail through usually what people are saying that are good. But, I mean, I feel like that's going to help in terms of progress for future songs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. But what age are you when you first start to notice, or when people start to take notice of your playing?
Honestly, I would have to say high school.
High school, people yes. start to take note. And so between those years of you getting the cello and high school, what's going on? Are you playing with a group? Are you still with the same orchestra? Do you advance to your school orchestras or high school? What is the history of you and the cello in between years there?
It really did start out with DC Youth Orchestra's program, and I stayed in that program all the way up until the time I graduated high school and got ready to leave for college. With middle school, I did join my middle school orchestra. It was at Thomas Johnson Middle School. It was out in Land of Merlin. And then after middle school, a teacher of mine at Thomas Johnson, I believe it was Miss Boyd, she was my math teacher. She mm-hmm. was telling me about schools like Roosevelt and Duke Ellington, and she had known that I've been doing music for a while now, so she had told me to audition for Duke Ellington, and that's why I ended up meeting my teacher for 4 years, Miss Carolyn Kellogg, who, she's a bass player. She's really nasty. She does a lot of bluegrass gigs, but
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was teaching you cello.
Yes.
And now, did you go to Duke Ellington, or did you not get into Duke Ellington? What happened?
Oh, no. I ended up getting accepted into Duke Ellington. I had tried out for visual arts and music, and it just so happens that once I started seeing the other visual artists, I was like, oh, man, I don't stand a chance. So,
so you got your cello out.
Yeah, it was like, I'm just going to go ahead and mosey on over to the music department.
Right. Good answer. Do what you're best at. And so you have a love, apparently, for the visual arts as well.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get better at that, when you're done getting good at cello, you can go back to that.
Yeah.
So let's get back to another piece, because I really love what it is that you do. So basically, folks, there is this pedal that Benjamin has here in the studio with us, and he uses that pedal to create these rhythms, which he plays back, and then he plays his cello over top of those rhythms, and it's really interesting to watch happen. And again, after a couple of performances. We're going to take you through that process and let him show you how he does constructs this, but it's very interesting. What is the next piece that you have for us?
The next piece doesn't really have a title. This one is more so ad-lib, but mm-hmm. in the meantime, I'm calling it Wind until mm-hmm. a better name comes up. So,
all right. This is Benjamin Gates doing his thizzle with his cello and his foot pedal here. And the song that he is going to do for us is called Wind. You're listening to 89.3 Live at 5. My name is Tony Bates, and thank you for listening. Don't forget that you tune into this show every Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m., and we are going to be in our fun drive in the next couple of weeks. So make sure that you get a jump start and visit WPFWFM.org and make a pledge of support to this station prior to that before we're intrusive and asking you every day. So Benjamin Gates, take it away.
All right.
Wind by Benjamin Gates. That's him and his cello. You're listening to 89.3 Live at 5, folks. That's what you get on this radio program. We have such a unique, you know, there's so many interesting forms of music in the city of Washington, D.C. and the surrounding areas. It's so beautiful to have you come in and do something completely different than anything I would have expected or from what we've heard on this program before. So I'm really grateful to have you here. Now, when you pick, at least, the cello, you play it like a guitar almost. So what is that influence? Where is that coming from?
Okay, it comes from a while ago from being in DC Youth Orchestra. It started with, I guess, a rivalry with violins because we had a... They were all great. But
What's this rivalry about?
Well, I mean, we had the violinists who were all like, you know, we're violinists. We're all high-pitched. We get the solos and whatnot, and we're the bass. We just kind of...
You're supporting them.
Yeah. So, you know, we didn't want them to get too high up on their high horses. So it got to a point where it was like, okay, well, we need to start figuring out ways to, I guess, build solos up to kind of rival what they were doing. But in return, I think my first year at Duke, I started noticing how much love guitarists actually got. I'm not going to lie. It was just like I kind of got a little, you know, kind of got into my feelings about it. I was like, you know, I want as much love as a guitarist can go out and get. So after that, it started with kind of switching it on this side. That's why you can't see it. But that's
yeah, we're on radio. But your cello, is, first of all, it's an electronic cello, and it doesn't have the full body, but one quarter of it is removed. And that is the upper right side. And is that so that you can play that way?
Yes.
Interesting. So is this custom made or you just sawed it off?
Nah, I sawed it off.
Oh, my God. If I were your parents and you did that to the cello I bought you.
Yeah, she was asking about that other piece.
I bet she was. Kathy, you probably had to restrain yourself. But yes, but all the same, the sound is still coming out of it very beautifully. So you're getting done what you need to get done. Yeah. So you developed a guitar player style for two reasons: to compete with your violin friends, your friendly competition, friendly rivalry with the violinist, and then noticing how much attention guitar players got.
Yeah.
Yes. So you decided to. So that's really interesting that you play it that way. Mm-hmm. So growing up in this region and having clearly to listen to classical music, what was that like for your peers? I mean, and beyond those you went to school with, obviously, they were being exposed to this music too. But what did you find in terms versus what was on the radio and pop music with your friends and what you were listening to? Or did you consume both?
I would say that I consume both. My sister, who's also been a great influence in my life and also a great friend to me,
no one ever says that about their sister. Is she your big sister?
Yeah.
That's even worse. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, I was growing up with her a lot, and she would drive all over the place wherever mom would have her go and whatnot. So she always had a lot of hip hop on the radio, but it was.
She was your roadie?
Yeah. I was her roadie, whatever. Like, yeah, we'll say she was mine, you know. But I would.
What is your sister's name, by the way?
Ryan Gates. Yeah. But I would have to say it was pretty much the music that she put me on to, and then just really getting to know diverse people and what other people were listening to. The classical music, people wouldn't really get put off by it. They were surprisingly really acceptive about it, and they wanted to know more and hear certain pieces. So it's not much I can say on that. And in terms of getting people to, I guess, kind of get used to it, because everywhere I went, everyone was already okay with it. And if not, they were curious about it or something.
So your peers received it well?
Yeah.
Well, that's really good to hear. Who are your influences in terms of classical music?
Let's see. I know this is that a lot of people are probably going to be like, oh, everyone says that, but I have to say Bach. And the reason I say Bach is because of the time period that he came from. He came up in the Baroque music era, where they used a lot of ABAC formatting to go about composing their songs. And that's honestly how I like to look at what I do. Even though I'll go out and ad-lib, I still have to set the bass parts and the rhythm parts up. So whenever I start to work on a song, I like to think of a Baroque format. And I you know, a lot of people say that Bach was he wasn't appreciated for his time. So, I mean, he wasn't appreciated in the time that he was around, but he had a lot of beautiful pieces that I'd have to say. And I believe that my favorite movement of his, if I'm going to talk about him, I have to bring up the Bach suites, because that's what, unfortunately, he's really known for. But I would have to say the fifth movement, I believe it was the Prelude. I haven't played it or seen it in a while, so I'm going off of a little foggy memory, but I believe that's what it was. And it had it had a darker sound to it, but...
Does it most Baroque music?
Yeah. But it was... If I had to give it any word, I would say it's enriched. Like, it makes you feel, I guess, enriched. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Or I could put on a Baroque CD and start crying right now. Just saying. Who knows? You might feel enriched. You might start crying.
Yeah.
Who knows? To me, it's amazing that you can listen to that music and the emotion comes so clearly through with no words and no lyrics, but you feel the emotion of what is being played. They are speaking through the notes of the music. And for me, that's mind-blowing. And if... My best friend, who's an amazing guitar player, used to say, you know, I would hear Fur Elise, and I would say, I almost cry. I used to cry when I heard it.
Yes.
And then almost every time I heard it, I would almost cry. And my best friend said, man, if I knew a note that would make people cry if I just played it, I would just play it every time. And I was like, that'd be cheating. He's like, I don't care. I would just do it. Like, that's what I would do. So you find that. Now, what about popular music? Who has influenced you in terms of today's popular music?
In today's popular music, it goes a lot more than what I said earlier. Like I said, the influences that kind of influenced me here on this project right here is...
I'm talking about overall.
Yeah. It's a little bit more difficult to say because I haven't been listening to that much lately. So,
what did influence you as you were playing? I mean, you mentioned, I believe, System of a Down earlier.
Yes. System of a Down influenced me. Buckethead really influenced me. Apocalyptica.
Nobody in my audience knows who Buckethead is.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine. But
Buckethead is a guitar player that wears a bucket on his head.
Yes, he does.
An actual bucket. And at some point, he was in Guns N' Roses replaced Slash as the guitar player and does his own solo projects as well. And for me to hear anyone in this universe even say Buckethead is shocking to me. You've said it, so let's carry on.
Yeah.
And you said Apocalyptica?
Right. They're a group of cello players. There are four of them. And they all use acoustic cellos, but they all have pickups for their instruments, and they have a unified electric sound. It's what they do is very orchestral. They do Metallica covers. They're amazing. So I was in a rut a few years ago in terms of I didn't know how I wanted to keep continuing with the cello because I ran out of ideas and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to keep playing other people's music. That's basically
good answer.
That's basically what it came down to. So
did you do at that point?
Well, it was in the car when I heard Apocalyptica, and then I decided I was like, okay, it's time to get a new cello. It's time to start getting the equipment that I need, and it's really starting.
How long had you been away from the cello at that point?
6 months.
6 months. You just took a break because you didn't want to play other people's music, and it was enough for a while.
Well, it was definitely enough for a while. There was a lot going on. Nothing too negative, but at Hampton, not the university, just saying my social life overall, my general experience, it was either choose this life or go a completely another path. It was, you could continue to be a musician or you can dabble in other things and progress in other directions. So with everything that had been going on with people out there, when I got back home, I had decided that I thought it would be best to put music down and really decide if I really wanted to continue going on or not. And that period was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because before that 6 months that I took off, I looked at my instrument as a tool. It was just, you know, okay, I use this, I go out, I play music with this, I can make money with this. But then it got, after that 6 months and realizing how much that I'm, you know, I had missed it and gone back to it and really starting to get into it, not so much reading, but just playing it and really starting to learn it, that's when I made that transition over, and I was like, this is something that I can't live without.
That is really beautiful. So what you're describing is, at least if I'm wrong, correct me, is that you'd been playing your instrument as an instrument.
Right.
And when you picked it back up, it became kind of a part of you, and you began to play it your way.
Yes.
As opposed to what you've been playing for other people.
Right.
Well, that's a beautiful experience. Thanks for describing that on the program. Folks, you're listening to 89.3 Live at 5. That was a great little moment that just happened there. Our guest is Benjamin Gates. He is a cello player, but he plays cello in a really unique way. And we're going to let him play. I know we've been talking for a while. We're going to let him play another piece for you. And what do you have prepared for us next?
Well, this song, I'm going to have to set from scratch. It won't take
that
long.
No, that's all right. I want the audience to hear your process. So let me explain to them. That's why I questioned you about that.
Okay.
So what happens is that Benjamin has a foot pedal in front of him that captures what he plays, and then it will repeat that. And that's why you're hearing what sounds like multiple instruments and percussion. He creates those rhythms. He creates the bass line. He creates a little piece around it, and then he plays over that. And it's amazing, actually. When I heard him live, I was taken aback so immediately. So we're going to take you through that process. Now, how does that work for you? What do you put down first?
Usually the first thing I put down is my bass track, because it's the easiest thing for me to keep a rhythm instead of putting a drum track down first. I know it sounds a little backwards, but...
Well, not for people who aren't musicians. They don't know that you always record the drums first.
Yeah.
So when you're in a studio, folks, you always record the drums first. That way you have your rhythm and, you know, you don't go off pace with all the other instruments. But
yeah.
You put your bass down first.
Yeah, that's the very first thing that I put down first. And I'll let that go for 2 or 4 bars or so before I put the drum track down. And then once those two tracks are down, it pretty much comes down to putting whatever else you want on it. But you can mess around with it. You could... bow a few good parts out, and what will happen is when it loops, you can do another layer, another harmonic layer, and then it makes full-blown harmonies.
It sounds sometimes like an orchestra is in here playing. So let's begin. Take us through the process.
Okay.
Benjamin Gateshall, you're listening to 89.3 Live at 5. Tune in every Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM WPFW. So very beautiful. That is Benjamin Gates, folks. This is 89.3 Live at 5. My name is Tony Bates. I'm your host, and I am, again, getting a personal concert here in the studio. It's just magnificent, and I'm telling you, man, at Fun Drive, you guys are going to want to come in here and see some of these folks play, because I get to be in this space every night doing this, and it's just a gift. Thank you for sharing that with us, brother. So a little birdie told me that you've done some things that you've maybe played for some royalty. You've maybe been at the Kennedy Center. At some point, it's alleged that you played for the Queen of Sweden. Why don't you tell us that story? How did that come about?
It's actually funny how that one happened. I had just started busking, going out on the streets and playing.
Busking? Yeah. Now, that's a word that I say to people and no one knows what I'm talking about. But I learned it at Occupy Wall Street. So busking is just standing on the street playing mm-hmm. music. I was going to ask you about that later, but we'll get into that. But yeah. You were out busking.
Yeah, I was out busking, and there was a woman by the name of Michaela.
Uh-huh.
There we go. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay. Got her name right.
Yeah, yeah. It was Michaela, and she had heard me playing out at Georgetown, where they just built that park up with the fountain and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she had given me a card and told me to get in contact with her. So we ended up getting in contact, and she set everything up. I was at the Four Seasons Hotel, but she bought me in. She liked what I was doing musically. I didn't get a chance to play any of the originals, but I'm still grateful for the opportunity. I don't want to make it sound like I wasn't, but I went in there and I had to play classical selections. They were all of my own choice, and of course it consisted of the Bach suite. So
okay,
yeah. But that was a really cool time.
Were you nervous at all?
I'm not gonna lie. Yes, I was.
And how many people were you playing for?
I want to say it was an entire maybe ballroom or so. It was like mm-hmm. in the basement of the hotel, and it was like one of their private rooms that they mm-hmm. let out exclusively.
That they have for the elite.
Yeah. So that was about the space, and there were a lot of big people there from Sweden, so. I was pretty nervous, but as soon as I got in a plan, I calmed down, and it went really well.
Was my friend Lisa Erickson there? I'm kidding you. I'm sure that she wasn't.
Yeah, just like,
she just happens to be from Sweden.
Gotcha. Sweden is lovely. Like, it looks awesome over there.
And you've actually been to Sweden?
No, I'm just saying, like, off of pictures.
The pictures. Okay. And so you also have played at the Kennedy Center.
Yes.
And what took you to the Kennedy Center?
The Kennedy Center was while I was with DC Youth Orchestra. We would go to the Kennedy Center on numerous occasions. Some days we would go out and have DC Youth Orchestra concerts for one of the founding members, I believe, John McCain. John McCain. But yeah, we would do concerts for his benefit, the tribute to him. We would play on the Millennium Stage. There was an opportunity where DC Youth Orchestra had a partnership with Youth Orchestras of Americas, and that's, I believe, a South American-based orchestra, and they come to the United States, and I believe they pick people out of every state to come in and play. And they had chosen myself and a few other of my comrades who play other instruments to come in and do a performance with them.
Wow, that's pretty wonderful. And finally, it's rumored that you've been to the White House.
Yes.
With your cello.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Again, that was during the time I was with DC Youth Orchestra. It was an awesome time. I remember when we went, it was very cold outside, and we had to wait and get our instruments inspected and make sure no one was crazy. So when we got in there, it was a great time. I think it was for his Easter egg event, where they bring
for
all
President the, Obama's Easter egg event.
Well, yeah, for the Easter event. But yeah, he was there. We got to play on the balcony.
You got to play for President Obama, brother.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty up there in the list of accomplishments. Yeah. So go ahead. You got to do what?
Yeah, we got to play on the balcony of the White House, and I remember that day. The person who was conducting was Maestro Jesus Berard. He was a part of the DC Youth Orchestra for a while after after McLean had left because of just eyesight and stuff like that. So he had left, and then Maestro Berard had came in, and he did an outstanding job conducting that concert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, fabulous. And again, I could go on, but let's not. Let's have you do something else for the audience since this is a live performance program.
Okay.
What else do you have up your sleeve?
This is a new song that I came up with this week, but I'm really excited about it just because I feel personally it's different from a lot of the stuff that I've done. So to me, it has this very wavy feel to it, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing it for you.
Fantastic. Does it have a title yet?
This one doesn't have a title.
I have a song that I sing like once a week out at performances that doesn't have a title yet. I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
So that happens. Folks, this is 89.3 Live at 5, and the other voice that you're listening to on the other microphone is Benjamin Gates. He's a young man, a local here in D.C., who plays the cello very beautifully, as you've heard if you've been listening to 89.3 Live at 5, and he's going to do another piece for us. An untitled piece. Thank you. you very much, Mr. Benjamin Gates.
No problem.
So you mentioned busking, and that is playing out on the streets. Talk about your experience. What made you do that first, the first time you did it, and what made you think you could be successful at it, and what's the experience like?
My busking experience came from an old partner of mine. We didn't leave on bad terms. We had different projects that we wanted to pursue and decided to go our separate ways, but we still communicate to this day. And that was a good friend of mine, Joseph Boone. We had started a group 2 years ago before I started working on this project, and that was called Off Schedule. And with Off Schedule, what happened was we had met at Prince George's County Community College, and we had sat down. We had heard about each other, but we had never actually met. And then the day we...
What
we,
instrument does he play?
Guitar. Okay. Sorry about that. But I met him at PG one day, and he had his guitar, and I happened to have my cello, and we were like, okay, well, let's do something real quick. And we played 3 songs, and the energy that we had musically was great. So with him, we decided to go out and start trying to outreach with people with Off Schedule and try to get Off Schedule known. And it was working out. It was working pretty well. We actually got we actually ended up getting an article in the Washington Post a while ago. I believe the article was District After Dark, and they were talking about other musicians.
Man, fame just keeps on finding you, don't it?
Yeah. But I would go out with him, and we would go out early in the morning and be out till at least 12 o'clock or so at night, and then go home and just stay out and play all day. And with him, we always made good contacts, and we always made a decent amount of cash. And I think at the time, both of us were busking, that both of us were unemployed, so it was going pretty good. So.
So was it joyful for you, though, playing all day that many hours? Did it become a task?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And honestly, I have to say, you know, especially speaking back in the day, like just the energy that Joe and I can go out there and do things. We could play things together. He could do a song by himself. I can do a song by myself. It was really good communication going on between us. And we still had very, very, very great things going on with busking. But when we decided to go our own separate ways, it didn't happen until this year. I ended up getting a job out in Bowie, and I was working there for an entire year, and then I ended up leaving. Came back into the city, and then it just so happens that I hadn't been in Georgetown in a while to play music out. So I was excited because back then I only had an acoustic cello. I didn't have all this equipment that I have now.
Right.
So I was pretty anxious to get out there, and my main reason for going back to busking is because a good friend of mine and also my partner, Xavier Knox, he was talking to me about getting back out there and doing some things. So we had talked on the phone a couple of times before it was decided that, you know, that I would start going back out there, and then he would start coming with me on some days. So we vary. And speaking of Xavier Knox, he's a very good friend of mine. He's also a guitar player, and he's helping me along. Like, while I have this project going on, he's helping me with another project, which is known as the Gates of Knox, in which we're trying to like incorporate and get a full band together. And
okay,
really...
So we're going to run out of time here very shortly.
Oh, sorry.
A couple of things, and I should have asked you this earlier. How can people contact you if they're interested in maybe having you play a gig or maybe having you play a session with them or that sort of thing? How do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
Yeah. My website is on Facebook. It is what it is for now. But it's Benjamin Gates, the number 0. That's my URL. You can reach me at www.facebook.com/Benjamin Gates.
Forward slash
Benjamin Gates 0. And that'll take you straight to my profile, and I'm very responsive. I'm better with computers than I am actual telephones. So it would be best to if you're interested to send me an email, and I will gladly get back to you. We also have
so you don't want to give out that email as well?
Yeah, I'll give out everything. there's Benjamin Gates 0 at gmail.com as well. We just opened up a SoundCloud that's under soundcloud.com/asteroidtitanium.
And you can be found on YouTube under Asteroid Titanium.
Yep. We can be found on YouTube under Asteroid Titanium. Yes.
Right.
And is it okay to give out the?
Probably not.
Okay.
So if folks want to get a hold of you again, they can email you at BenjaminGates0 at Gmail.
Yep.
They can find you on Facebook at facebook.com/BenjaminGates0.
Yep.
And hear your music that way. Well, folks, you've been listening to 89.3 Live at 5. Once again, I want to remind you that it's Fun Drive season. You can visit WPFWFM.org and make a pledge now before the Fun Drive begins. Also want to remind you to tune into this show every day, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 6 p.m. Tomorrow's guest, Aquia Ulrich, is going to kick your behind. Please tune in. His sister's coming in. She's a jazz vocalist, and she's bad. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, and Benjamin Gates is going to take us out with a final piece. And thank you very much for being a guest today on 89.3 Live at 5.
Tony,
you've brought us a really unique flavor.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
Okay. Let's see. Okay.
I'm going to remind you again, folks, that you can visit facebook.com/BenjaminGates0 or BenjaminGates0 at gmail.com.